You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John.
800-998-1003, Shamit Dua. Bird writes, he'll be the latest, and covers the team to offer an opinion. We spoke with Jake Madison. Locked On Pels gave us some details. Of course, we're talking Anthony Davis to the Lakers. David Grubb joined us this past hour. Scott Kushner, bottom of the first hour. What are you shaking your head for? What?
If this is true.
Okay, you didn't read it properly. The headline is, Jason Tatum was offered for Anthony Davis, but not with the Memphis pick. So why are you shaking your head?
I mean, we don't know what else was included in that, that offer.
Okay, read it again. I'll read it for you. The Celtics are open to discussing Jason Tatum and the future Memphis first-round pick for Anthony Davis, but not in the same offer, per Sham Sharini of The Athletic. Sound different, better now?
Just sounds like they weren't offering both in the same.
Right.
Yeah, but what
right.
about the
Tatum
other players?
Tatum was on a table, but it was either Tatum and not the first-round pick. Do you want Memphis' first-round pick? Then you don't get Jason Tatum. David Griffin wanted both.
No, they're not talking about this first-round pick of this year.
Right. Well, it's the Memphis first-round pick. So that's silly if you're the Celtics. Don't you think?
No, they made the right decision. Kyrie might be leaving. You have to have something to build around. It's definitely not Anthony Davis.
Look, I said that weeks ago. I mean, the fact that Kyrie looked the way he did and he was like, I'm good. Remember when he got bounced out? You got other members in the team in tears and he was like, yeah, it is what it is. You get over whatever he said exactly. And then I was like, look, if he leaves, you can't let him go if you're Boston. It didn't help that last Wednesday you had
Richie Rich.
Rich Paul on Sports Illustrated say, let me make this as clear as I possibly can if you're Boston. You can trade for him now. He will go into free agency in 2020. Lakers or Knicks. Everybody else is a one-year rental. 800-998-1003. Looking for your opinions on the trade. Do you like it? Do you not? Are you excited about it? We'll go over some of the Twitter responses as well. Wojnarowski this morning on Golic and Wingo on the Pels.
Simpson certainly puts New Orleans in a position where, you know, they think they can be a very competitive team again in the short term, that they don't have to break this roster all the way down and rebuild it. Drew Holiday, who's an outstanding guard, and they've got almost $20 million in cap space to go out in free agency and probably put a couple pieces around the edges here. But this is a New Orleans team that's going to have some options. That fourth overall pick, New Orleans is talking to teams now about it. They could trade it for an established player, or they could trade down in the draft. You have Atlanta, who has 8, 10, and 17, who's had some interest in maybe packaging to move up. That's certainly a team that could help New Orleans with their depth and bringing in some more players if they don't absolutely love somebody at number four. So David Griffin's got a lot of options here.
J-Mac over on Twitter says, two-part question. Is it possible David Griffin is on LeBron and Clutch Sports' payroll? Two, since the trade goes down after the draft, can the Pels crawfish out of the trade because it's terrible? 2A, if any players fail their physicals, the trade void. So, it's a little nervous, Jordan. A little nervous.
I saw a lot of Lakers fans wanting them to pull out of that just because of what the deal included.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I guess If a trade is to be fair, I guess both parties have to be kind of weary about what's happening.
Relic on Twitter are seeing superstar players like Charles Barkley and Clyde Drexler traded for less than AD, so it depends on how the picks pan out. Solomon, Griff did a great job, especially considering the way Rich Paul was lowballing us. And at the Bema, love the no LA comment from LeVar Ball earlier this morning. We'll play this and we'll go to Lee. It was on First Take. Playing all along was to get Lonzo out of LA.
I'm playing chess. Y'all playing checkers. The best way to get Lonzo out of LA is I said, you know what? I don't like New Orleans. I don't like New Orleans. Lonzo ain't going nowhere. He the best in the world. LA Lakers ain't going to never let him go. First thing they do, exactly what I want to do, let him go. Because it's raggedy over there. Even the writing is on the new shirt that he going to wear. It said no LA on it.
There it is. He's referring to the NOLA jersey. I like it. No LA.
We have L period A period.
You know what? Maybe we'll just learn to embrace LeVar. How do you think that first 2-3 game losing streak is going to go with Alvin Gentry, LeVar? Alvin Gentry can't coach.
Yeah, he's keeping himself relevant.
Zion, Bors, I don't know. Again, it's just me. If the Bulls and Suns really like him some Lonzo Ball, show me a good offer.
What would that offer include?
Show me a good offer.
Tell me.
Right now?
Yes.
Anything.
Exactly.
Take Kobe White.
I don't think anybody on either of their scenes have anything that I want.
Look, I get it. It's just funny. 2 days ago, I couldn't find a tweet. And now today, everyone's telling me how great Lonzo Ball is. 2 days ago, I couldn't find a tweet about his greatness.
That's because that's what Louisiana fans do. Hey, you're not with us? You know what? You're horrible. You're trash. Yeah,
now all of a sudden, he's great.
You're amazing.
Okay.
Hey, we can't talk bad about our own players.
I'm not. I just got the excitement.
You've already started.
All right. Lee, thanks for giving us a call here on the Sports Hangover. What you got?
Hey, Gus. Man, just recovering from the weekend, man. You know, I met Jordan him out at the show Saturday. Mm-hmm. We had a good time out there eating some crawfish. You know, I wanted to give my 2 cents on this, you know, and I kind of like what LeVar said on First Take. I mean, you know what? That's a way to ingratiate yourself to the team and to the city. You know, all we just need you to do is not try to bring the ship down when you, like you say, you get on a couple of losing streaks. Don't, you know, start fighting, making quotes and all that stuff. Just trust the process. You know, that I think that's what Alvin Gentry should adopt the Philadelphia 76ers motto and just issue all the shirts out to everybody when they come in and give it one to LeVar Ball, too, and just say, hey, trust the process. Meaning, don't go out there and start talking crazy and stuff. Let me get these young guys on point. Trust the process. So I'm looking at it like this here. I think the trade is a push. Everybody's talking about who got the best of the deal. If you want to look at it from the standpoint, LeBron got his wish. The Lakers got the best of the deal. However, LeBron and AD can't play 40 minutes, and it takes three more people to complete the team. So I would be interested to see how they're going to fill the team around them two guys. That's going to be the challenge, the monumental challenge for them. For us, on the other hand, I think it's going to be exciting watching these young guys grow. And I think if everybody's expectations come down a bit, because you have these young team. Now we have probably the youngest team in the entire league. So temper your enthusiasm. Let's trust the process. If Drew Holiday has the patience to deal with these young guys and bring them up, I think if we roll with Drew, I think we got the answer on what Julius Randle was thinking by opting out. I mean, he turned down $9 million to test the waters. Not saying that he won't re-sign with the Pelicans if the Pelicans offer him a nice contract. But at this point, maybe he's looking elsewhere because he don't want to do the youth movement thing right now. And I think he wants to win now. So I get that part. But I'm excited because of the young pieces. And I will say this about Lonzo Ball. He's not an offensive juggernaut. But the guy does play defense, and he can pass the ball. He can pass the rock. So we can get him to role play at the point and let Drew go back to two. I mean, that's a pretty, to me, a pretty formidable backcourt when you talk about defense. So I like his defensive game. It's coming around. I mean, I look, you know, when we made the trade and got everything, I started looking at some film on him, and I started YouTubing some of his games. The kid can play defense. I got to give him credit where it's due. I've seen him lock some guys down on that point. So I'm not going to sit there and poo-poo it all together. I don't know how Elvin Gentry feel about it right now, but he may be excited. He may be the one to say, you know what? I could teach. I can coach these guys. I can get Ingram and Ball on point. I can get Hart on point. Maybe he was the one that convinced Griffin to pull the trigger on the deal. But right now, I think we got something for AD instead of keeping him against his will for the 1 year, making him stay here, and then he walk and we get nothing for him. So I think something is better than nothing in this situation. So I'm going to go ahead on and be lukewarm on the trade and with the potential to get excited. I'll just leave it like that. But I just think that the team has nice building blocks going forward. We got some assets. Let's see what Dave Griffin do before we poo-poo the whole trade. We don't know yet. So right now, I think the jury's still out.
All right. Thank you, Lee. Appreciate the phone call.
LeVar, can I switch gears with you? Because I have a question
here. You can switch gears with me anytime.
Okay. Let's stay focused here. All right.
Yes. LeVar's latest inappropriate comment. Twitter Dave, what you got for us, man?
Hey, what's going on, Gus?
How are you?
I missed your first hour. So I wanted to just congratulate the Graf on the new position, and unless I overheard something wrong, I heard he's the new he's working for the Pelicans. Am I wrong about that?
New Pelicans play-by-play man. So Sean Kelly's moving up to ESPN, and that left a little opening there in the Graf getting the call up from uptown to downtown. So I've been calling.
Looking forward to having all that energy he has behind the mic. You know, right? I don't like the deal. You have to live with it. You know, you're going to get what you can. I don't think we can get much more than what we got. I don't want Ball here. I don't want him at all. I don't want his dad. When they play together, there is a story. You have to dig for it, but there is a story. Ball was the coach, I think it was, and his son was playing for him, or both of his sons. Against Zion. And there was some sort of story back in the back. I can't remember the whole thing that went down, but we don't need that distraction. I'll take the rest of the guys and put them on the bench, you know. But as far as I'm concerned, if you're the number one or number two pick in the draft, you should be able to hit a free throw. It's simple as that. I can shoot free throws, and I can't play basketball worth a lick. Tired of making excuses for this boy. I guess I think it's like I got everything. That's all I got for him. We didn't want Ball in the past. Don't need Ball now. And I certainly don't want his dad. Because the last caller just said, well, let's give this guy a chance to teach this and all that. You know, the first minute he starts losing, that dad of his is going to be all over him, ripping him. How are you going to teach him? You can't teach him nothing.
Right.
I don't want Ball here. I want Zion with the least amount of problems and the least amount of, what is the word for it? But I'm a little aggravated with the whole case. But I don't want Ball here. And I love the show. Glad you're back, brother.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it, Twitter Dave. Right before we get to Joel, a quick screaming A-bite.
You got to be crazy. Two late first-round picks. Brandon Ingram with a blood clot. An Alonzo Ball that can't shoot yet. I like Josh Hart, but come on. Anthony Davis? What do you think it would have taken to get Anthony Davis?
Exactly. Screaming A saying they didn't overpay. He's not buying it either. He just ripped your trade, Jordan. He just ripped your trade. Two late first-round picks.
He could rip it all he wants.
Guy that can't shoot. Let's see what's up with Brandon.
We haven't seen anything yet. Uh-huh. Everything's on paper right now.
All right.
2 years from now, 3 years from now.
Oh, now we're going three, huh?
We'll revisit
three
this.
3 years from now.
We'll revisit this.
Joel, thanks for calling the Sports Hangover. What you got?
Hey, guys. The trade, you know, it is what it was. We should have taken the trade earlier. Not getting Kuzma, to me, was a big loss in that trade. Now, once again, there's still, you know, we've got some good pieces back from it. There's potential in a lot of things. But I don't think the potential is ever going to be realized as long as we still have the same head coach who has wasted a hell of a lot of talent over his time. And now we bring in guys who can't shoot. Your biggest knock on Zion is the fact that he doesn't have, well, excuse me, everybody else's knock on him that you don't see as a knock, and I'm with you on this, is that he doesn't have a jump shot. But in an Alvin Gentry system, all we do is shoot. There is no inside game. It's everybody shoot, shoot, shoot. Lonzo Ball can't shoot. You know, we're bringing in people that are, you know, Josh Hart's good on the inside. Zion should be a monster on the inside. You have a lot of players where we could have a great front court system, but our coach that we have doesn't choose to play one of those. So I have a feeling we're going to be watching a lot of just, you know, iron laying this season where people are going to be throwing things up with nothing going down and, you know, people getting ultimately frustrated on the whole thing.
All right, Joel, thank you for your takes. Keep them coming, 800-998-1003. Josh, we'll open up next segment with you, and then followed up by our next guest, Shamit Dua of As the Bird Writes. That's coming up next on ESPN New Orleans.
My name is Big Mike Fazy, and I know tough times. I remember my mom counting pennies to buy a loaf of bread. Always promised myself to strive to do better for my children, and I have been blessed to do so. Now I want to strive to do better for our communities. From education to career opportunities, from coastal erosion to infrastructure. I know we can make better tomorrows because I've done it all my life. I ask for your support and your vote. Big Mike Fazy for State Senate.
Paid for by the campaign to elect Michael Fazy Sr.
At Indeed, we understand that when it comes to hiring, it's important to have a large talent pool to choose from. But sometimes too many good options can be overwhelming. That's why Indeed doesn't just give you access to a large pool of job seekers. We also offer screener tools that let you instantly narrow down your search. Hone in on hiring with Indeed. Experience Indeed for yourself today and get a free sponsored job upgrade on your first posting at Indeed.com/promo. Terms and conditions apply.
El Paso Mexican Grill in Raceland is well known for their authentic Mexican food and their cantina. Come and enjoy their daily lunch specials and happy hour from 3 till 7 with $2 ice cold beer and 2-for-1 margaritas. Looking for the best party on the bayou? Well, that's El Paso's Grill and Cantina with a live mariachi band. El Paso Mexican Grill, the freshest food from our family to yours. El Paso Mexican Grill on Highway 1 in Raceland.
There are over 9 billion animals raised on farms and ranches across the country each year. For far too long, those animals were not afforded protections to ensure their humane treatment and care. Luckily, times have changed, and more farmers are raising their animals in accordance with American Humane's ethical and science-based standards. American Humane is this country's first national humane organization, and is committed to working with farmers to offer ethically driven consumers humanely raised products. The next time you're in the grocery store, be sure to choose products that are American Humane certified. The purchasing decisions you make each week can positively impact the lives of billions of animals on our nation's farms and ranches. Live better, live healthy, be humane. To learn more, visit AmericanHumane.org.
Hey, it's Matt Moscona.
Love you, Matt.
Paul O'Neill.
They're chanting Paul O'Neill's name.
And Musso.
And we invite you to join us every single weekday for After Further Review. I tell you every single day. If you're talking about it, we're talking about it. Weekdays on After Further Review. Join us from 3 to 6. It's AFR on 100.3 ESPN New Orleans.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Lead writer at Bourbon Street, Shot Schmidt Dewar, going to come to him in a matter of minutes. Josh, give me your best 60 seconds so we can get to our next guest. What you got, man?
I just want to be the, I just want to hear the avant-garde opinion of Jordan and why he thinks Taco Fall would be anything ideal for our team. I understand he has things to get listeners, but I mean, the guy has a 36% free throw shooting percentage. He averages 24 minutes a game, and you want to put him in a running offense? I'd like to hear his opinion on that. I can understand why he's an LSU fan.
Exactly. Thank you.
Well, first off, I'm not an LSU fan.
Oh, now you're not?
Line up.
Oh, now you're lined up. Okay.
Plus, I just like how Taco Fall plays when I saw him in the tournament. Mm-hmm. He didn't shut down Zion Williamson.
That's not what you were telling me earlier.
Zion still scored 32 points, yeah. But who's going to shut down Zion Williamson?
I just like
the way he played. He hustles and, you know, he gets rebounds. He's a big guy. Okay. I mean, it's kind of we're really desperate for a center right now after giving away AD. I mean, we really don't have a big lineup.
Well, if he's there at 57, you like him.
Yes.
Okay. NBADraft.net has him going 54th to the 76th.
It's not like I'm going to take him in the first round or early in the second round with that first pick. If he falls to me with my last pick,
you were pretty hyped on
him
earlier in the show. You basically wanted him to go first overall.
No.
Shamit Dua, what's going on, my friend? Thanks for joining us today.
Hey, I'm just basking in the aftermath of this whole Anthony Davis situation.
All right, it's your turn. I've had a round panel of discussion with everyone that's covering this team to get their takes and feelings on it. I need to be excited about it. Jordan's tried. David Grubb did the best job from Crescent City Sports to kind of give me that. Jake Madison, Scott Kushner said there's a lot of question marks in this trade on both ends and really for the Pels as well, betting more in the future. How do you make of the trade to the Lakers?
Yeah, I believe the Pelicans did quite well for themselves when it comes to draft compensation. I don't think anyone anticipated the Pelicans to be getting the Lakers basically next 7 years worth of drafts. I mean, this is unprecedented for a superstar trade, especially with 1 year left on his contract. And if you read the reports that are coming out, and honestly, I don't know how truthful they really are, but when they talk about how Boston wasn't really serious about including Tatum and the Knicks weren't really serious about including Kevin Knox. I mean, like, it's Kevin Knox. Come on. But when you read those reports and you wonder, like, hey, the Lakers gave up all of this stuff. They're basically their entire future. And this is after LeBron's contract is over. This is after AD is on the wrong side of 30. And the Pelicans are basically making a bet that in some point between 2021 and 2025, the Lakers are going to be a bad team. And with the way they've kind of run their franchise over the last 7, 8, 9 years, like, I think that's a fair bet. So the players that the Pelicans got back are intriguing. I think I like Lonzo Ball the best of them. He has several good to very elite skills that can translate right away. And obviously, his shooting is his biggest weakness, and there's a lot of work to be done on that end. But that being said, he's an elite passer. He's a elite defender. He can rebound the ball. He's great in the open floor. So he'll make Zion and Drew Holiday's job a lot easier. Brandon Ingram, I'm a little bit less high on, and the coaching staff will definitely have a challenge figuring out if they can develop him into a plus shooter and have him utilize all of his physical tools.
Shamit, do you think those two players stay here? Or do you think they're part of a bigger move that David Griffin sort of gets? And the reason I ask that is you're seeing reports out there about, hey, maybe the Pels use the fourth overall pick and shop it to try to get an all-star player or a more established, better veteran. Beal's names come up. I'm like, well, he's a guard. So if he comes in, Washington's not willing to do that per the report, but let's say that happens. Well, where is he playing? You know what I'm getting at? So if they move that fourth pick overall, do you think that Ingram and Ball can then be shipped to another trade? I know what Chicago, Phoenix has expressed interest apparently in Lonzo Ball. Could you see that being a possibility?
Yeah, I think the name of the game is improvement. I think David Griffin is always going to look for opportunities to acquire young talent that fits the roster and that's going to grow with Zion Williamson because ultimately he's the future. Now, if you can go get an all-star like Bradley Beal, now you go get that talent and kind of figure out the fit stuff later. especially with the other young players. But yeah, if a deal comes along that the Pelicans are like, wow, this is actually really good for us, let's go jump on it. I think David Griffin is someone that is not going to be satisfied until the Pelicans are in chasing after that C word he talks about, the championship.
Mm-hmm. I fear the Browns are the way to follow. Schmidt Dua over on Twitter, lead writer for the Bourbon Street Shots. Here, what are the other things I look at when all this trade comes in with all the draft picks? And he's talking about being unprecedented, where it can be the third, or you can, you know, select it this year, or maybe, you know, to whatever year you want it to be, or the following year, and all of those things. Is it interesting? I think the timing of it, I guess, is what's interesting to me. Most of those picks, because you're assuming Jordan says the Lakers will be good for 2 years. I think he's nuts. I think LeBron's got at least three. And then even if he retires when his contract ends, which I don't see happening, then I can't imagine the Lakers won't get anybody else to be over there and make a run while AD's only 26 years old. So, I mean, I guess that's the risk for me, is that a lot of those picks where you're hoping the Lakers will be bad are going to be in years, you know, what, three or four of Zion's rookie contract.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right to be concerned about the Lakers always being a destination, especially if they have a star like Anthony Davis already there as sort of a North Star to draw other stars. But that being said, I think I'm leaving more with Jordan. With LeBron not being good in 3 years to 4 years, I don't think by the time his contract is up, he's going to be the same player. In fact, he might just want to hang it up by that time. I mean, he'll be, what, pushing 40 years old, which is, and he's had an impressive career. So I think the Lakers' title window right now is obviously they have the immediate 2 years. But in the future, I mean, I think it's anyone's game. They really haven't been able to attract stars in the past. And the stars that have played with LeBron in the past, when you look at Chris Bosh, you look at Kevin Love, they've talked about how difficult that kind of presence is, that kind of attention is, that kind of stress is. So who knows in 3 years if Davis even wants to be a part of that, if he wants to be a part of those bright lights. And I mean, I'm assuming that Davis is going to re-up for about 3 years or so in terms of his contract, so he mm-hmm. can hit that 10-year veteran threshold that allows him to sign one of those large 35% maximum contract deals. But when that time comes, is it going to be with Los Angeles? Who knows? I think that's anyone's guess. A lot can change in 3 years.
Schmidt, what do you do with the fourth pick? I'd like to keep it. I like Kobe White. You can go with a couple of other players as well. Go get yourself a small forward. I do like that. I think a lot of the argument has been you use the four to go get a more established player so you can try to win sooner rather than later. I'm like, look, especially if you're handing AD to the Lakers, you're not going to be competing for a championship in 3 years, 4 years. So why not build, to me, the next, like, OKC? A trio of young stars. Give them a couple of seasons to get better and work and learn together, and then fill it out around there. That's just me. What do you do with the fourth?
I really like Jarrett Culver at that four spot, but if the Pelicans aren't keeping their own pick there, I'm looking to make a deal that A, either, you know, gets you that bet like Bradley Beal, which, you know, we're deeming a little bit unlikely, right? So if you can't go get a player, an established young player that can grow with you, try to diversify your assets and maybe get a pick that's a little bit later this year, but you also have a pick next year, or you have multiple picks this year. For example, let's say you trade with the Atlanta Hawks. They have the 8th pick in the draft. They have the 10th pick in the draft. They have the 17th pick in the draft. They also have a future Nets pick. Let's see if you can get 3 of those 4 picks, right? So if you can get the 8th and 10th and then a future Nets pick out of them, then, you know, you're potentially talking about at 8, maybe you can go draft Kobe White if he drops that far. Maybe you're looking at, you know, Zion's partner from Duke, Cameron Reddish. Maybe at 10, you know, you're looking at Brandon Clark or some of these other players that maybe aren't as touted as Jarrett Culver, but realistically that's not much of a drop-off in terms of skill and potential for when you look at the 4 spot and maybe the 10 spot.
I like that. You're right. I mean, the Hawks, man, littered with picks in the first and second round. They got a ton of them as well. That's something that's interesting as well. I know all around here, all the football fans are familiar with moving down and trying to get other assets and everything. There's a lot of options that David Griffin can do. Would you agree with me on that?
Yeah, the flexibility is enormous, really, because the assets are a blank slate. You can essentially do what you want. They're like currency in today's NBA, right? You can use them to purchase whatever you need to kind of fill out your roster, whether it's more assets or whether it's players.
Yeah, I'm like I said, do you think some moves will happen before draft day, or do you think on draft day?
I anticipate draft night to be a pretty, pretty wild night, especially as the picks are rolling in and teams are seeing who's on the board, who's not on the board. I think you might see some deals that are like conditional where, let's say the Pelicans have agreed to send the fourth pick to, I don't know, let's say the Bulls, for the seventh pick if X player drops. And like, let's say that X player is Jarrett Culver and the Bulls are really focused on Darius Garland. And so, you know, you're seeing these players go one by one by one, and then it goes to the Bulls draft slot, and they're like, oh, the Bulls have selected Jarrett Culver. And then you hear, you know, your phones go off with Wojnarowski tweeting, Bulls have decided to trade, you know, that and the future pick for Darius Garland at number four. You know, so I anticipate something like that happening. Maybe not necessarily with the Pels. I think draft night historically is a very active night for all NBA teams.
Right.
I think front offices like to wait until the last minute. They procrastinate just like the rest of us, trying to milk every single opportunity they can, and it should be an exciting time.
I'm ask you this as a wild card perhaps for Thursday. All the stuff that's coming out right now about Houston, I mean, it was what, last week, 2 weeks ago, owner basically said, or the GM did, everyone's on the table. The reports this weekend, really this morning, a huge story on CP and Harden don't get along, even though they look great in the State Farm commercials. I mean, you know, all that stuff. So, I mean, it's, you know, I mean, could that be, you know, something that affects Thursday? You think they could move Chris Paul, and where would he go?
Chris Paul, I don't see him moving because he makes $40 million
right,
a year.
Right, contract.
Like, who is going to take on that contract? And honestly, if I'm Houston, if I'm Daryl Morey, I'm looking at this year, like, wow, my title window is truly wide open. Over the last 3 to 4 years, I've been eliminated by the Warriors every single time. This time, there's a huge possibility that's not going to happen. So regardless of how these guys feel about each other, I need to do what I can to get a ring. Now, before all the injury concerns hit the Warriors, I think it was wise for the Houston Rockets to explore, like, maybe we got to change up our core. This is currently not cutting it. But now, I don't think that same question is there. I think if I'm then, sure, you kind of sniff around to see what you can get, see if you can maybe secure the assets for another star that he talks about. I don't see that materializing, but go for it. Go for another championship. The title window is wide open.
Schmitz, what can folks find, man, on the site? No doubt you've been busy getting all kinds of different takes and putting some things out there over on Bourbon Street Shots.
Yeah, so we have the trade analysis for the recent trade. We're going to talk about the players that the Pelicans just acquired. Obviously, there's going to be draft analysis coming up after the Pelicans make their selections, if any trades come forth, and we're going to hit free agency running.
It is. At Fear the Browns, the way to follow you over on Twitter. Schmidt, always appreciate your time, and thank you, bud.
Thank you.
There he goes, Schmidt Dua. What are you grinning about over here?
I mean, once again, I was right.
And that's all the time we have for this segment. We'll hit the quick break. We'll come back. Two more segments are wide open. 800-998-1003. Are you as excited as Jordan is? Or you have tempered enthusiasm, which is where I am, when it comes to this trade? I like to see other moves. That's all I'm saying. If we're going to go young and we're going to go with some players, I like some players in the draft. I get everyone saying that you don't have a lot of these franchise players. There's some really good players that we saw in college basketball. I think you can help build around a guy like a Zion. You heard him say Jarrett Culver. You know, we saw that this year. A couple of Virginia Tech guys are pretty good too. I like DeAndre Hunter. I mean, I don't know. I just, why not go OKC youth, you know? I don't know. There's all kind of different ways you can go. Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
We can roll all night. Supply Warehouse has been providing the highest quality name brand batteries from AC Delco. Batteries for marine, car, truck, SUV, RV, ATV, motorcycle, golf cart, and dry cell batteries. They have Baldwin filters and more. Fleet Supply has your belt supply needs, including automotive, lawn equipment, agriculture, marine, and industrial. They have one of the largest belt selections and inventory in South Louisiana, located on Venture Boulevard in Houma, or call 985-868-0430 or check them out on Facebook.
The locally owned UPS store in Houma does much more than shipping. They offer a wide range of products and services to help and support small business owners and individuals. The UPS store in Houma offers packing, shipping boxes, large format printing, banners, shredding, faxing, and more. UPS store is your one-stop store for business and more. Located on Martin Luther King Boulevard across from Chick-fil-A in Houma. Check them out on Facebook.
Dear Vet Ticks, it was nice to spend the night with my daughter and other veterans. It's so humbling to attend an event when you feel appreciated.
I had a wonderful time with my family. Thank you for the memories, Vet Ticks.
Dear Vet Ticks, thank you for a great experience and for your support of the military and veterans.
Thank you so much, Vet Ticks. Our family has gone through a lot the last few years, and this gave us a nice break.
Every empty seat at a concert, game, or special event is a missed opportunity to say thank you to a veteran or a service member. By giving your extra tickets to VetTix, you'll help America's heroes reduce stress, strengthen family bonds, and create a truly happy memory that will last a lifetime. So when you really want to say thank you for your service, give the experience. Give the memory. VetTix. Give something to those who gave. For more information on how you can make a difference, go to vettix.org.
Napa know-how.
Right now, get a 5-quart jug of Napa conventional motor oil for just $11.99. That's a pretty unbelievable deal for a pretty unbelievable oil. But trust us, it's totally real, but only for a limited time. So get your 5-quart jug of Napa conventional motor oil for only $11.99 today. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
General States pricing. Sales prices do not include applicable state local taxes or recycling fees. Limit 6 per customer. Offer ends 6/30/19.
Hey, who wants gum?
I do. Thanks.
Don't thank me. Thank Native Americans.
Native Americans gave me chewing gum? I didn't know that.
Yeah. They also gave you parkas and canoes and snow goggles
what?
And adobes and chaps and electroplating.
Really?
So many things. Lacrosse, hammocks, baby bottles,
seriously?
Rubber, the compass, camouflage, aspirin.
Aspirin? I didn't know that either.
Yep. And kayaks, yams, maple syrup, suspension
maple
bridges,
syrup.
Umbrellas, vanilla, freeze-drying, harpoons,
really?
Peppers, avocados.
More at sacredpeople.org.
A child psychiatrist explained why organized team sports are so important for the development of young people.
In boys, at least, being on a sports team is associated with being less sad, and the hippocampus plays a role in that.
And a look into baseball's unwritten rules with MLB insider Danny Nober.
There's more of an acceptance that you can flip your bat, you can show emotion on the field.
Every edition of The Sporting Life on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
What?
I know this song.
Oh, you do?
It's Come Sail Away With Me.
Ah, there it is. Jordy Intern. There you go. The excitement level. I like during the break there, we're just going back and forth. I like what Schmidt brought up. Maybe if you can't get the vet like a Bradley Beal, something like that with that fourth pick, maybe you can get more picks and assets. I like what he said with Atlanta. Atlanta has 8 and 10 and another future pick. Maybe you do that. Just move down from 4 to 8 and 10. Then you can get two more younger players to build there. Cajun Goat, going to you, Marlon Favorite in the On Deck Circle. What you got, Cajun Goat?
Well, Gus, you know I was against them trading with the Lakers from the beginning, but after seeing everything, I guess I'm okay with it now. I do think that Lonzo Ball would fit what they want to do because he is kind of a younger version of Rondo. He can't shoot the ball well, but he is a great passer. He is a great defender. With him and Drew in the backcourt, that's going to be a pretty good defense. I'm not sure on Ingram yet, but I think the kid can play. I think he just needs, you know, he needs time just like anybody else. But that we gave up the glass slipper to give, you know, we gave up the glass player for what we got. I think we got a great haul for it. And I know you're not enthused about the draft picks and all that, but that's exactly how the Celtics built their team. That's exactly how the Golden State Warriors built their team. They built it around young players, and I like the avenue we're going to go down with it. Let's do it with the young players. I don't think the Lakers even going to make the playoffs next year.
Whoa!
If they can't acquire anybody else. Because I don't think let's start here. LeBron has never been injured his whole career until he got with the Lakers. So obviously their medical staff is not that great. So what makes you think AD's going to make it through a whole season? And I just don't – they don't have the point guards anymore that's going to make that team rock and roll. You know, well, who are you going to bring back? Rondo? Rondo's pretty much up there in age now, man. I don't see him lasting a full season either. So I don't even think the Lakers make the playoffs next year. I do think the Pelicans make the playoff next year. I think we make it with the team that we have. I think if AD wouldn't have played with us last year, there was a possibility of us making the playoffs. You remember when we were playing last year that we were beating playoff teams when AD was not around. This team is still a good team. Don't count the Pelicans out because they traded Anthony Davis. I think they're still a good team. I think if Gentry has to make his adjustments of letting these guys play, and I totally disagree with you, Gus, about Okafor not playing defense. I thought he did a very good job, and I think getting a season under his belt, I think he's even going to be better this year. Now, is he a starter or a role player? That's going to be up to debate, but I still think he should play, and I still think the guy's a good player.
Gotcha.
That's it.
Cajun Goat with his thoughts and feelings on it. And when I was talking about Okafor and the defensive side, that's what a lot of the other beat writers talked about him, that his big key or his big issue to work on is playing defense. Playing defense for a living was Marlon Favorite's job at Big Bay 504. That's right. Cue the music. It is Hollywood Fave. Big Fave 504 is the way to follow on Twitter. What you got, Marlon? How are you today, bud?
Well, hello, somebody. Talk to me now, Gus. Brother, how you making out on this cloudy Monday?
All right, I got to hear it from you because your guy, LeBron, got the guy that he wanted, Anthony Davis. How you feel about the trade?
I think it was a decent trade. It wasn't a clean trade. It was a little dusty. But I think for a short-term game, it's a win for the Lakers. Long-term game, win for the Pelicans.
Okay. There it is, his take on I didn't hear you bragging about how LeBron's winning the championship next year. You know, do you think they win next year?
I think they go to the Western Conference Finals for sure. Because, Gus, I was listening to you guys and some of the folks calling in. It's a lot that's going to go on here this week in regards to trades and all this stuff. This is almost as exciting, if not more exciting, than sometimes the NFL draft. You have to look at the injuries. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll say this.
Go ahead.
The free agency in the NBA and all of that, to me, is a little more exciting. It's crazy how it gets like that. Let's do a couple of around the NFL tidbits here for you. Bruce Arians, new Buccaneers head coach. They have Peyton Barber, Ronald Jones II in the backfield. He says you don't need to have a star in the backfield to succeed and win in the NFL. What do you think?
Well, that's actually true. That is true because if you have a really good offensive line and a defense that's playing lights out, you could get by. I thought even last year with Denver and the Steelers, they had two. Wakanda really did get off, but he came out of nowhere. But, hey, Lindsey wasn't a big-time draft pick. If their offensive line was a little stronger and they had a little more strength on defense, maybe another Von Miller type, they probably could have made a decent run in the AFC. That running backs aren't – they're not what they used to. They don't have the value that they used to have, like back in the day, in the Barry Sanders days, and the Dallas Cowboys for Emmitt Smith. Stuff like, you get what I'm saying? Not to say that the position hasn't evolved, but Gus, just to be honest with you, man, it's more important to have an edge rusher or a left tackle than a surefire running back. So Bruce wasn't that off at all.
Well, I definitely think you've seen success of teams using multiple backs just because of the wear and tear, I guess, and the pounding that you've seen. Although you can argue that some teams have had success with a big key back. I think the loss of Freeman hurt Atlanta. I think their eye is really what you saw Evan Kamara added to the Saints backfield to add to Mark Ingram. You saw what Gurley has done with the Rams. And speaking of, the All-Pro has an arthritic component to his knee per his trainer. How big is that? Because you saw him miss the last two games of the year last year. He didn't play as much in the postseason. And really, you heard the head coach earlier in OTA say they're going to try to cut down his workload.
Yeah, that's different language right there. And you know what that means. They even drafted a running back, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. And it's not that Gurley can't go, but this, again, that position is very expendable, guys. It really is. Because you just hit the nail, too. Multiple running backs. Look at the success of Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara last year just here with us locally with the Saints. So we know firsthand. So we have to pay attention to that. You know, Sean McVay, the young coach, they did draft a running back in the draft. Not saying it's, they're going to watch Gurley. They're going to see how well he can, like, lighten the load. Let's see if he can take on this. So he's going to be sharing reps for sure.
Speaking with Marlon Favre at a Big Fave 504 is the way to follow him over on Twitter. I guess one of the other things to touch on here as well, when you look at the Saints wrapping up here, mini camp and all the OTAs, we'll speak with Larry Holder tomorrow to kind of look at it as well. But just off the top of your head, it's interesting going into this training camp. Normally I would say, hey, what would be some of the things you want to see the team work on? Question marks heading in the training camp. Do you think this team has many, if any, question marks going into camp?
Not any big ones, Gus. I mean, you probably will have somewhat of a question mark on the center position, obviously, because Eric McCoy has a lot to show and prove on this level. I mean, but you've seen a little bit of camp time, so there's some answers there. So it may be a few answers here and there on the offensive line. But I honestly think this team is pretty complete. I was talking with Coach CJ after Saints minicamp. We actually going to be on tonight's episode of Inside the Trenches. I was asking him about the receiving core. I was comparing when Skylar Green played there and Robert Neesham and that receiving core with those guys. How was it? And he said the same approach. So I know that was a lot of clinic tape those guys were putting together with the route running. So now, even with the addition of Matthews, I just think that the receiving core is solid. Their linebacking core led by Davis is solid. The secondary still looks good, man. This is a complete team. It's just going to be about finishing and really taking each game like a slum dog.
I like that. What else is coming up on the podcast today, man?
Well, we have we also had a chance to talk with Malcolm Brown. His interview is going to be on there. And old Davenport, man. So a little bit of him. Got some new things on there. I think you might like the intro, you know, for sure. And got to get you and Jordan on one of these episodes coming up too, man. Especially Jordan talking about the Lakers, bro. You got the Kobe Bryant's ready. I already know, Jordan. I know.
I'm just telling you that during your entire interview, he's watching Ingram, Hart, and Ball highlights that somebody put together. And you probably need to go get a massage right now. The way you've been using your muscles.
I saw you smirking a little bit looking at some of the highlights.
Jordan said he's coming to L.A. with me. Say, Fave, next time you go out there to Hollywood.
That's it. There he is.
Yeah.
All right, Marlon.
I'm coming with Big Fave.
Thank you, Marlon. Appreciate it. There he goes. Big Fave 504. Hello, somebody. Inside the Trenches, go check out the podcast. Quick break. Dennis, when we come back, you should have about 60 seconds to 90 seconds before the top of the hour. And Matt Moscona. So I'll shush. We'll hit the break. And then, Dennis, you're up. Sports Hangover continues on ESPN New Orleans.
Warm weather means baseball, but it also means swarming termites. Hi, I'm Nichols baseball coach Seth Thibodeau. When I want to strike out termites, I put the local experts Dan Foster and Billy Foster in the game. Terminex targets termites where they live and eliminates the colony. Call a local team at Terminex of Houma for a free inspection and quote on termite protection. It will be a home run.
Terminix is a proud supporter of Nichols Athletics.
I'm not a big talker. I am a big doer. But sometimes the only way to solve the problem is to get on the horn and figure it out. So the only people I like talking to? Grainger. With knowledgeable product experts, ready with the answers to my toughest questions, calling Grainger is the one conversation I don't mind having. From machining and motor parts to valves and vacuum pumps, when it comes to solving my problems, Grainger's got my back. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At Indeed, we understand that when it comes to hiring, it's important to have a large talent pool to choose from. But sometimes too many good options can be overwhelming. That's why Indeed doesn't just give you access to a large pool of job seekers. We also offer screener tools that let you instantly narrow down your search. Hone in on hiring with Indeed. Experience Indeed for yourself today and get a free sponsored job upgrade on your first posting at Indeed.com/promo. Terms and conditions apply.
Keep your business on the cutting edge with electrical supplies from Bayou Black Electric Supply in Houma. Bayou Black Electric Supplies has marine, oil field, and industrial electrical supplies. They have products ranging from marine, cable, lightning, and lots more, including Eaton Electrical. Many items for any project or repair. Count on superior service and lightning fast delivery. Bayou Black Electric Supply is your local electric connection, a division of Fleet Supply Warehouse, located on Highway 311 in Houma.
Looking for quality auto parts for your vehicle? Shop O'Reilly Auto Parts. You'll find convenient locations, thousands of brand name parts in stock, extended store hours, everyday low prices, and well-trained professional parts people. Come see for yourself at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. Better parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, big talker, ain't you?
A man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Tim McMahon from ESPN on Chris Paul and the Harden situation.
The issues, according to what team sources tell me, between James Harden and Chris Paul is a difference in their preferred playing styles and some personality clashes. Chris Paul is not one who shies away from making his feelings known, his opinion felt. And, you know, he is, in the words of one source, pestered and pestered and pestered. James Harden, on the other hand, is not a guy who seeks out conflict, but there were times where he'd had enough, where he snapped back at Chris Paul, where he told him, essentially, he's not the smartest guy in the room all the time. He doesn't know everything. He doesn't need to talk all the time. And, you know, he feels like Chris Paul tries to coach him, and frankly, he's not interested in that.
Ooh. Didn't we say that when you watched the games last year? That Rockets team is always better. When Chris Paul was the dominant one in running that offense, I thought the year before, when they were, you know, pulled hammy away from the Western Conference Finals, Chris Paul really ran a lot of that. We just heard it. James Harden. Not interested. Don't coach me. You over here, by the way. For the last 13 minutes of this YouTube video, unbelievable how much of a Laker fan you've become, at least of
these
players.
I'm not a Laker fan. I'm a Pelicans fan.
Unbelievable. I mean, you're going to go buy three jerseys today, aren't you?
I might have to. Brandon Ingram's every single highlight I've seen, dunking on people.
It's incredible. What was that score just now? 82-77.
No, I've seen 97-91.
No, it's incredible. Ooh. Most of the highlights you're watching, they're trailing or losing.
99-81. Fourth quarter.
All right, losing this one, 58-53.
Not anymore. It's 55-58.
Ooh. Something tells me we're not done with this. But you, I mean, look at him. Great, you were grinning.
You were grinning.
I was
starting to pull
there
you.
There it is, another
Brandon Ingram dunking on people every single highlight. Doesn't matter. It's with a different team. He doesn't have Zion or all the other pieces.
Matt Muscoden after further reviews up next. We'll continue this tomorrow on ESPN New Orleans.